January 20th, 2023. If you haven't yet, please subscribe to all our channels, YouTube, Twitch, Twitter, and Apple Podcast. You can also listen to us on your smart speaker. If you're listening on Apple Podcast, please leave a rating and review. It will help us out tremendously. We're also on online radio. You can also visit us on thesportscast.net, thesportscast.net, or on Twitter on thesportscast1, and also on Instagram, thesportscast1. Also, you could also get our app, The Sportscast, for iOS. You can get that in the Apple App Store. NFL playoffs, divisional round. This is the round where things get serious, where things get colder. And join us all the way from a cold area, upstate New York, Rochester, Ryan Krista. Welcome back to the Sportscast.
Santiago, it is good to be here. It's good talking NFL playoffs. Huge weekend, Santiago. Huge, huge weekend. You know, to me, this is the best weekend, you know, because you've got, I think you have the most games with the best quality teams. So,
and also the wild card has a lot of bad teams in it. And then, this group of four, eight, it's heavy duty teams here.
Yeah. Nothing against the Eagles, nothing against the 49ers, Cowboys. Those are some good teams, and it wouldn't be crazy if one of those teams won the Super Bowl. But Santiago, you got to look at the AFC. The quarterback playing the AFC, I mean, you've got Mahomes, Allen, Burrow, Lawrence, some major players. And
all under 30 years old.
Yeah, not even close to 30 years old. Like, I mean, with years to come of these four guys playing. I mean, Trevor Lawrence, you could replace Trevor Lawrence with Justin Herbert, who, you know, he beat last week, and, you know, another young quarterback coming up in the AFC. You know, and we're not even talking about, if Lamar Jackson stays healthy, you know, where they end up being, you know. So it's key competition, you know. You got to take advantage of every opportunity you get every year because you don't know what the next year holds. So, all four of these teams, are primed for a very deep, Super Bowl run this year.
Before we get into the preview, Vic Fangio has been buzzing around in the rumor mill. A lot of teams are looking for defensive coordinators. Where do you think will be a good spot for Vic?
I hear Atlanta. I think, that's a team, looking for some direction, and I think they've got some individual players on that defense. Vic is a really good, smart defensive mind, I think a lot of people, were always clamoring from, to be fired as a Broncos head coach, and then, he gets fired and you were stuck with, Nathaniel Hackett, Vic Fangio like a Hall of Fame coach, but he had some deficiencies as a head coach. There's none, you can't take that away. But as a defensive mind, when he was with the Bears, even the Broncos, he was a defensive coordinator, one of the best defenses in the league, and a lot of the success there this year, the foundation that was placed under Vic Fangio the last couple of years. So, I think Falcons would be a good spot for him, but wherever he ends up, he'll do well.
You mentioned the Broncos, a huge, huge hole to fill. Sean Payton has been a candidate, other candidates as well. Who do you think should get the job?
I'm waffling. Obviously Sean Payton, because the offense was horrible last year. So obviously you bring in him, and he's got instant credibility. The offensive line depth was terrible. There's some deficiencies in the roster that kind of led to the turmoil on offense. But you ultimately got to be the one quarterback. You got to be the coach that ultimately taps into Russell Wilson, and tells him he's Russell Wilson,
Let me name you a few names. Jim Harbaugh turned it down. He's staying with Michigan. Yeah. Ejiro Evero has been interviewed. He's currently the defensive coordinator for the Broncos. Former Lions coach Jim Caldwell is a candidate. And obviously Jared Roseberg, he is an interim. He could be a potential candidate. But from those names,
and you got David Shaw, Stanford head coach. You know, that's a, you know, kind of a underdog, you know, candidate, because, you know, he's, you know, known as, you know, players coach, you know, kind of coach like an NFL coach at Stanford, you know. But also another connection, you know, who is the minority owner of the Broncos? Condoleezza Rice.
You know, where Condi Rice, she has a say.
Yeah, she does have a say, and she is a big David Shaw fan. You know, personality-wise, they click really great. And then
also defensive coordinator, DeMarco Ryans of the Niners, and Dan Quinn of the Cowboys.
Yeah, those are the two names I'm really circling, because I think, you know, Dan Quinn is, like, you know, one bad half away from being a Super Bowl winning coach. And then you go, then you got DeMarco Ryans, which is, you know, basically the hot name as a coach, you know, defensive, you know, the what he's done the 49ers defense is, you know, really co-coaching with Kyle Shanahan, in the sense of, you know, Kyle coaches the offense and he coaches the defense. He just doesn't got the head coaching title, you know. So when he goes to Denver, he'll be coaching the defense, and you know, his ability to bring in a new offensive coordinator will be key. So that's really, you know, but Dan Quinn, I mean, the job he's done the Cowboys defense, you know, from where they were when he got there last year to where they are now, tremendous, you know. Like I said, you know, with that kind of guy, I'm kind of focused on, because I feel like he's got experience. He can learn from his mistakes in Atlanta, but build on what he did well, you know, and he gets it, you know. Players play hard for him. So that's a guy I'm looking at. Obviously, my thing with Sean Payton in Santiago is, this is a guy who comes with a price tag, huge price, not just money wise, but you
they
know,
deal with
he's
the
still under contract. Saints. Yeah. So now we're already down ass draft assets, because we traded the house to get Russell Wilson. We got a little bit back in the Bradley Chubb trade from the Dolphins, but we can't be giving away more draft assets, because this team needs young players. You know, even our best defensive core. Yes, we got Patrick Surtain Jr., who is young, but most of our core, you know, Kareem Jackson, Justin Simmons, you know, they're old, they're a little long in the tooth, you know, so we need to get younger, even at the positions that we're good at, you know, and we find a great offense. So, you know, that's my only hesitation is Sean Payton. I think if he really wants to go to Denver, you know, they can work out a deal. They'll suffice the Saints. So, you know, the Saints are in a really good position with that. So we'll see what happens. You know, my guess is still going to be Sean Payton, but I wouldn't be sad. You know, if he's bringing a Dan Quinn, as long, or DeMarco Ryans, as long as, you know, it comes with, you know, a competent offensive coordinator.
So, Ryan, if team owner Greg Penner and general manager George Patton hired you for your consulting services, who would you say your number one pick for this Bronco team?
Well, my number one pick was always Jim Harbaugh, because I think he just gets it. You know, his way of getting the best out of players, whether he's with the 49ers, Stanford, Michigan, you know, he gets it. You know, I think he's been great with the Broncos. Obviously, that's not going to happen, so that's water underneath the bridge. But, you know, I think you got to do your due diligence with Sean Payton, because this is a Super Bowl-winning coach. Guy's been in the playoffs a long time, knows offense. He had a good chance. I think last year was good for him. You know, he never seems happy on TV, but loved to talk the game. So I feel like, you know, he was around. He probably watched a lot of film. You know, he knows what works in the NFL now. I don't think he's going to be one that's going to go back to the well and keep running the same plays he ran, you know, 15 years ago with Drew Brees. You know, the game has changed. Then I think he'll be able to get the most out of Russell Wilson. So that'd be my first choice, you know, and, you know, Dan Quinn would be my second. Mika Rides would be my third, you know. So, and, you know, with bringing, you know, Sean Payton is, you've got your defensive coordinator, you know, they really, I think that's why, you know, the coordinators apply, you know, his interview, you know, I think for the I'm going to say it's a Cardinals job. But he also wanted an interview for the Falcons defense coordinator job, which the Broncos blocked. You can't stop a candidate from interviewing for a higher-up job, but you can block them from going a lateral move. So that leads me to believe that Sean Payton is the guy that Broncos are targeting, because if they do bring in a D'Amico Ryans or a Dan Quinn, I'm assuming they'll take over as defensive coordinator or bring in somebody that they're familiar with to run their defense.
I've heard if Sean Payton comes in, he might bring Vic Fangio as his defensive coordinator.
He could, and I think that would be awkward. That's weird because he literally just left as a head coach. You know, but he does know the player, so I we'll see. You know, I'm not, ultimately, I think going before the Russell Wilson trade, I thought George Payton, our GM, and he's still doing a great job through the draft. You know, if you look at where we've hit on, but obviously he's going to be judged by that trade, Russell Wilson trade right now. I mean, we got a big F on that, San Diego. So we'll see what happens. You know, this is make or break, and I know there's these articles about, that coach reports to, Mr. Penner, but ultimately I think, who he reports to, it's ultimately George Payton who's going to make this decision, and his job is on the line with this head coaching choice.
Yes. The owner will be sitting in the same room with the GM to make that decision of who should be the head coach. So it should be a quite interesting offseason for the Denver Broncos. Big shoes to fill, according to Ryan Krista. All right. Are you ready to preview the 2023 NFL playoffs divisional round?
Let's do it, Santiago.
Kansas City Chiefs host the Jacksonville Jaguars in the divisional round of the 23-23 NFL playoffs on Saturday. Kansas City, which received a first-round bye after winning its seventh consecutive AFC West title, has advanced to the conference championship in each of Patrick Mahomes' first four seasons as a team starting quarterback. The AFC South champion Jaguars, who recorded a stunning 31-30 comeback victory against the Los Angeles Chargers last weekend, are looking to reach the conference championship game for the fourth time in franchise history. This matchup is quite not interesting, but just to look into, what are your thoughts over this matchup?
Yeah, so you got this superior power, this normal, the standard right now in the AFC, and that's the Kansas City Chiefs. I know they're upset last year in championship by the Bengals, but it's a team that, won the Super Bowl, played the Super Bowl, there's a standard. And then you kind of we got this upstart Jaguars team. I feel like the Jaguars are coming hot in the sense of this team was down 27-0, came back, 131-30.
Do you think there's momentum coming with them to Kansas?
I think there's a little bit. I think they come out crazy, hungry, fast. And I think the Chiefs know that. And I think that, you kind of got to weather that storm, I think, if you're a Chiefs player. And as a fan, you can't get, too desperate early, and you just hold back, because ultimately at the end of the day, the Chiefs are, supremely talented on offense, and they get the job done on defense. With that being said, I think Trevor Lawrence and Christian Kirk and Etienne, Ingram will be able to move the ball against the Chiefs. I don't think the Chiefs really are one of those teams that are going to be a lockdown defense, But, because they know that the job is just not to give up a lot of points because their team will score points. You want to hold teams to field goals, that type of bend but don't break defense, I think, is a good term for the Chiefs defense. I think Trevor Lawrence, like I said, will come out firing. He'll stay hot early on. But at the end of the day, I think what the Chiefs do well is closing door on defense. In the sense of when they get a lead at the end of the game, they're able to, a Chris Jones, they're going to be able to get to the quarterback, and pressure Lawrence. And ultimately, I think that's his, you know, defensively, that's with the Chiefs. And then offensively, I don't think the game plan really changes. You know, you got Patrick Mahomes, you have Travis Kelce. The play, though, that he's really come on the end of the season, San Diego, is Jared McKinnon. You know, he's kind of this guy, you know, because of Clyde Allaire's injury, you know, kind of was forced into that third down running back spot, you know, catching passes out of backfield. But he's gone crazy this month of the season. You know, it's been tough for opponents to stop. So we'll see if that momentum goes. But, you know, I think the Chiefs will have just enough at the end of the day to win this game.
Chiefs are a 9-point favorite, according from Caesar Sportsbook book. Mahomes on fire. Jacksonville's ranked top 10 in total yards, 357.4, passing yards at 232 and scoring 23.8 points. Pass matchups. When Jacksonville went to Kansas, Ryan, they have not won. Kansas City beat them 27-17 back in November, a couple months ago. Back in 2018, Kansas City beat them 30-14. And 2016, they beat them by 5 points, 19-14. So Kansas City is favorite.
Yeah, I guess, you know, I mean, I think the Chiefs will win, but I think that Jaguars will cover that spread, though. 9 points is a good amount in the playoffs. That's a healthy amount to be given up.
Healthy cushion room.
Yeah, for sure.
Which, give them credit. They're doing it without Tyreek Hill.
Yeah, you know, I think they had to reinvent themselves a little bit. You obviously don't have that guy who's ultimately the ultimate mismatch. As you saw down in Miami, that guy is fabulous. You know, route runner, speed, you know, he's got it all. But so you kind of filled in, you know, with a committee, you know, Smith-Schuster, Valerie Scowling. You know, this guy that picked up, you know, as a Gator fan, you know, I'm quite familiar with Kadarius Toney, but really was going nowhere with the Giants. You know, and they pick him up in the midseason trade. You know, it's been a nice addition to this team, too. So, and like I said, it's Jerry McKinnon's coming on strong. So, Mahomes is, you know, elevates his teammates, you know, around him, and that's what makes him a superstar quarterback.
Will the prediction be different if the game was playing Jacksonville?
I not really. You know, I mean,
it's a hard place to play, Ryan.
It is a hard place. So Lawrence even says so.
well,
but, you know, I mean, Santiago, my team hasn't beat the Broncos haven't beat the Chiefs home or away, so it doesn't really matter for you as a Bronco fan where the game is at. It's been, what, 15 straight meetings? 16? It's insane, you know, since Peyton Manning's left. So,
quite impressive.
Yeah.
Anything else before we move on to the Giants?
Yeah, with the Jaguars, you know, you said, you know, the fact about, you know, true, Trevor. You know, I think the Jaguars do good when they can, you know, throw the ball. You know, Trevor Lawrence confidence. But at the end of the day, you're not going to beat the Chiefs in a shootout. You're going to have to rely on ETN. You know, that because if they can't run the ball, it's game set match. You know, I think the Chiefs will, you know, Chiefs will win quite handily. But I think the Jaguars will be able to run it. I think they'll be able to control the amount of possessions in the game, shorten the game a little bit, and then it's the ability for the Jaguars to get into the red zone, and that kicks field goals, but the score touchdowns will be the reason why it's a close game or they ultimately win the game.
Ryan mentioned Kadarius Toney, former Giants. His former team is going to Philadelphia on Saturday night. Kickoff is at 8:15 p.m. Eagles are a 7.5 favorite, Ryan, if you haven't checked Caesar Sportsbooks. This matchup is interesting, divisional. They played a few weeks ago, just 2 weeks ago. Philadelphia beat them 22-16, but Giants, they rested their starters for some reason. But this is a NFC East. Giants have momentum coming in, just like the Jaguars. They beat Minnesota, but Ryan could say anyone could beat Minnesota. Your thoughts over this matchup?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, Giants is a feel-good story of this. You know, I mean, we talk about the Jaguars, like, the AFC. The feel-good of the NFC is, you know, the Giants. Yeah. I mean, you like, I have Saquon Barkley and Daniel Jones is an average of best quarterback most days.
Which they,
I
mean, call him, like, they call him Vanilla Vic.
Yeah. I mean, what? You ran for 100, almost 100 yards last week or something crazy? Like,
something bizarre. I mean, I only saw him and Barkley running. Great. That's all I saw that game.
Yeah, I mean, that's more about the Vikings, you know, kind of being a paper tiger a little bit. You know, they won a crazy amount of close games. But yes, we're done talking the Vikings. We're done. But we'll talk the Giants who ultimately won this game. You know, they do the little things well. Brian Daboll is coaching this team up, and he's coaching every game, you know, because he knows he doesn't have a crazy amount of weapons. You know, they can't get any shootouts, so they manage the game, you know. This is a guy, you know, who put Josh Allen on the map here, you know, in Western New York with, you know, his dynamic offense and his ideas. But he can't do that with Daniel Jones in New York, because that's not who Daniel Jones is, and that's not how the Giants are made up. In time, I think they'll go and try to add weapons, you know, to their roster. But right now, this is just, you know, a team that lives week by week. You know, there's plenty of times this year where they look well. But a lot of times this year, they didn't have much going on offensively and kind of stale. So we'll see what happens. Like you said, the last time they played against the Eagles 2 weeks ago, they really didn't play very many players. And the Eagles are kind of, I think, knew that. And I don't think they also showed, knowing that a potential matchup was in store, really knew that, kind of kept everything close to the vest. I was Jalen Hurts, his first game back after missing a couple weeks. So it'll be interesting to see, you know, how healthy Jalen Hurts is, you know, as he recovered from his injury. Because, I mean, if he plays well and they're able to put their offense together, I don't think this is a contest. I think the Eagles will win quite handily. But, you know, if the Giants, again, are kind of like what I said about the, you know, Jaguars, if they're able to run the ball with Saquon Barkley, control the clock, limit the possessions like they've done all year,
they're going to maybe use some Darius Slayton.
The no-name receivers of the of the Giants. So,
the Giants haven't won in Philadelphia in a decade.
That's not good for a team that's here, play them there every year. So this is a, you know, a battle of Northeast, you know, a couple of major media markets up here. You know, it might not have the glamour nationwide, but up in the Northeast, this is a big deal when Giants and Eagles play. So, to me, the Eagles are great on both sides of the ball. They're strong. They're fast on defense. And, you know, this team, you know, when Jalen Hurts is running the ball and Miles Sanders, a, you know, top five rusher in the NFL this year, along then you throw in, you know, A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith on the outside, Dallas Garrett down the middle. Where do you stop them, Santiago? So
you tell me.
Ultimately, I think the Eagles. Yeah, well, it's not my job. It's figure that out.
You are booked by the Broncos, so you're kind of heavy-handed there. Already. All right, that might not be the biggest match. Okay, anything else before we move on to Buffalo?
No, let's move on.
All right, so that game might not be the game of the weekend, but this could be the game of the weekend. Cincinnati at Buffalo at the High Mark Stadium in Orchard Park, New York, set for 3 p.m. Sunday. Caesar Sportsbook, Ryan, if you haven't read it this morning, Buffalo's favored by 5.5. That is a little bit of a smaller margin compared to the other two games. The Bills offense averaged 300, almost 400 yards per game during the regular season, which ranked number two in the NFL. So the Bills have offense. What do you think about this matchup? This might be close, but Cincinnati did beat the Bills in 2015, but that was like 6 years ago.
That's a big margin. that's a big margin, Santiago, for how close these two teams are talent wise. I really thought it'd be like a field goal game, you know, but
good thing they don't have the Cowboys field goal kicker.
we can get there, you know, in a few minutes we talk about that game, but one thing when you talk about Buffalo, you know, you've got to talk about the weather. Weather looks okay. A little cold, maybe a little rain.
So there's home field advantage in some capacity.
Yeah, but you were talking about teams in Cincinnati. They've played in enough. You played on the road in cold weather before. It's not a difference making weather.
But the Dolphins were only 3 points away from beating the Buffalo.
Yeah, and it's concerning to some people, but, like, I mean, this last couple weeks for the Bills has not been an average couple weeks. There's been, obviously, you know, a lot of drama, and that's a lot of this game going. You know, these two teams, we're ready for a Monday night showdown, you know, before, you know, obviously a tragedy, you know, stop the game, you know, and so you got the emotions of, you know, DeMar Hamlin and, you know, or that going on. And then that you're not even talking about what we just said before. These are two gunslingers out there, San Diego, with, you know, two great quarterbacks. You know, each of them got a lot of weapons. You know, you got Steph Diggs and Gabe Davis. And now recently unretired Cole Beasley out there for the Buffalo. You know, on the other side, you've got Jamar Chase, T. Higgins, Tyler Boyd, Hayden Hurst, you know, Joe Mixon running the ball. You've got weapons all over the field for both. You know, it's going to be a matter of which defense really is able to, you know, take charge, you know, force turnovers, short fields. Who's going to get in these type of games? It's not necessarily about getting sacks, it's about getting pressure and making the other. If you have both of these quarterbacks sit in the pocket, you know, and give them time, it's over. You know, they're going to pick you apart. You know, advantage for Buffalo is that, you know, I think, you know, Josh Allen might be the best running back the Bills have also. So he's, you know, his ability, you know, to make plays.
All kidding aside.
Huge. Yeah. I mean, it's not kidding. You know, it's a fact around here. He's QB1, running back 1 too. So, I think knowing that, you know, big games are coming up, you know, they kind of held back running him unless they had to. So, I think when you get to a division round like this, everything's out on the table, you know. So, you know, he's full goal, you know, he's gonna make plays and they're gonna ask him to make plays with his arm, with his feet. So you can see which defense is gonna put pressure, which secondary, you know, is gonna be able to, you know, make enough play. You know, Buffalo secondary, you know, it's injuries. It's
not the best
right now.
They're
going deep in the total hole. Yeah. It's not their best right now, but they have enough talent to do it. But you're at the same time, I don't think you're with what they're missing. They're not going to shut down the Bengals. These are two teams that have won like combined 17 straight games. You know, this is huge, Santiago. This is a big matchup here.
Big matchup. So what's your
Tony Romo?
I know verdict. Your score, if you have one ready.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to go 31-27 Buffalo. Think it's, you know, I think both, with that being said, I think both teams are not going to really punt the ball. I think you got two teams that are just going to, these are two teams that I think drive the ball, but they're not going to punt the ball. There's just not going to be a lot of possessions in this game because I think you have long scoring drives on both sides. But, you know, I think the difference is I think the Bills, you know, they can get pressure on Burrow. Because Buffalo is pretty healthy. Where Cincinnati is struggling with health-wise is their offensive line. You know, they're down one to two starters and maybe up to three starters gone off this offensive line that's already, I would say, below average offensive line. So we'll see what happens. You know, I think that's where Buffalo's got a key in. I know they don't have Von Miller, but they have enough pass rushers, you know, to make an impact, you know. If Joe Burrow, you know, well, I think he's a little bit more accurate than Josh Allen, you know, his downfall is that, you know, he tends to hold on to the ball too long trying to make those big plays. So we'll see if that's a convenient factor. And I know that Joe Mixon, but the Bengals aren't necessarily a team that's going to run the ball, you know, as a major weapon. You know, and the Bills, I think the last couple weeks is, I think they're getting ready for the cold weather in the sense of they've really been leaning on the running game a little bit more. I think last year when it came to playoff time, they were pretty much threw the running game out the window. It's Josh Allen almost 100%, you know, running, throwing the ball. That's kind of how this year started. But lately, between James Cook and Devin Singletary, either one are not getting close to 100 yards, but they're doing enough to control the game and make the defense honest. It's just going to be a really good game because I think you've got two really good quarterbacks, two of the three best quarterbacks in the NFL, I think, right now. And, you know, it's just going to be a fun matchup, you know. And as long as the Chiefs win, you're going to have two of the three best quarterbacks playing in the AFC Championship game next week. So,
and Atlanta, neutral site, if that does happen.
Well, that's if the Bills win. If the Bengals win or the Jaguars win, the game, you know, that's null and void. And 50,000 people have their money refunded. So
that's a lot of money that Goodell has to come back with.
Here's a fun fact, though. I know this is out of strategy, you know, and weirdness of what happened, but I think after next year, because I don't think they can make this right away, I think starting in, you know, 2025, I think you're going to have neutral site championship games on both conferences. Because right now, I mean, look at how much money was sold right away, how much money the NFL can make. Now you're going to add in, you know, you're going to make a kind of like a mini Super Bowls here.
And I'm sure someone's seeing the numbers.
Yeah, it's going to be big money, big TV numbers.
I don't know about that. Maybe. I don't know. Like Atlanta or Detroit, teams that don't go to the playoffs. Hey, use our stadium for one more time, one more game.
Yeah, I don't know. I think you're going to look. I don't think you're going to have set locations. I don't think you're going to say, like, oh, it's going to, you know, AFC Championship games or this is going to be played and so and so.
It's in Jacksonville.
I think you're going to take a look, you know, maybe at the beginning of the playoffs or maybe, you know, which stadiums are available. And I think cities are going to make these stadiums available. Like, I mean, they were kind of forced to use Atlanta in the sense that I think they wanted Indianapolis. They wanted New Orleans, but for reasons of other big events going on in the city that, you know, they couldn't offer the amount of hotel rooms necessary to host that. And that's kind of where it ended up in Atlanta. But I think that's just kind of a side fact. I think you're looking how successful this has been. You know, I mean, selling that many tickets in, you know, 24 hours. It's huge, you know, and that's all money going to the NFL Santiago. So,
yeah, which they have no problem taking. All right, our final prediction Sunday night. This might be the granddaddy of it all. So they say Cowboys at San Francisco, a classic rivalry from the 80s being relived. They did play last year. The Cowboys were number two in the NFC East this season. They have not been to an NFC championship game since 1995. I remember that game. The Niners, who won the NFC West, are looking to make their second consecutive trip, Ryan, to the NFC championship game. They went back in 2021 against the Rams. They lost. Dallas has won 7 of the last 10 meetings, although San Francisco defeated the Cowboys 23-17 in last year's wild card round. What do you think about this matchup? Dallas, back in the past matchups, they have won in San Francisco. Your thoughts?
Yeah, this would be a fun game, I think. Another game where I think you have two solid rosters, you know. the 49ers have won, like, what, 10? They haven't lost since they got Christian McCaffrey, I don't think. He's been huge, you know. You've got two players that are ridiculous in matchup nightmares in Deebo Samuels and Christian McCaffrey, because you can have both on the field at the same time and, you know, you don't know which one's going to be running the ball, which one's going on, you know, being a receiver. And then you got George Kittle. And then you got Brandon Ayuk. So we can talk about Brock Purdy being the last pick in a draft, but he's, you know, he might not have the strongest arm. He might not have all the physical attributes, but the guy's a winner. I mean, he won at Iowa State. I mean, how many people can say that? Not many.
Not me.
yeah, not me either. And they didn't win this year when he was gone. So, he's the ultimate competitor, ultimate, you know, lay it on the line. And but he doesn't do too much. He just does what they ask him to do. And that a lot of times that's just handing off to Deebo Samuels and Christian McCaffrey. But last week he had to go and make plays, you know. I mean, he threw for 300 yards in a playoff game, which is big. And I think he's going to have to make plays too. I mean, the Cowboys, you know, with Diggs and Parsons, you know, this is no joke of a defense, you know, led by what we talked about earlier, Dan Quinn, who turned this defense around. So, you know, I don't think the opportunities will be there to make big plays like they were last week, but he's going to take the plays that are there in front of them. With that being said, I mean, the Cowboys, you know, special teams miscues on the field, extra points, you know, played a ridiculously good game last week against the Buccaneers. You know, I think they were the better team.
They sent Brady home.
Yeah. I mean, they're dominant on offense, dominant defense, you know, the two-headed monster running back. Dak and CD had their thing going. So, the Cowboys, when they have, you know, I could play this game 10 times in my head and I could see 5-5. You know, I think this very evenly matched up game, you know. When you think about the Cowboys, you just got to go, what you saw last week, you know, you think, how is anybody going to beat this team? But then you look at 2 weeks ago against the Commanders in a game which actually meant something, it could have meant something. They were terrible. Absolutely terrible. Dak was terrible. The team was, you know, no sense of urgency. So you got to say, what Cowboys team is going to come out? And if it's that type of effort against the 49ers, they'll lose. And it ultimately costs Mike McCarthy's job, you know, because I think this is one of those years. I don't know if it's Super Bowl or bust, if that's what Jerry and his sons are thinking about.
And Sean Payne is available.
Because you've got Sean Payne. Yeah, and that's why I think Sean Payne is going to slow play this a little bit, because ultimately he wants that Cowboys job. And the Cowboys are, because the Cowboys are going to be willing to give him what he wants, the money he wants, and probably ultimately the freedom to, you know, be the GM of the, and also the coach, you know, so, and make, you know, a lot of those major personnel decisions. So it'll be interesting to see, you know, how this weekend goes, you know. If the Cowboys win, you know, even if they lose and it's competitive, it probably is not going to cost Mike McCarthy his job, you know, and Sean Payne probably takes him to his job, you know, this week, whether it be the Broncos or whoever. But yeah, that's kind of a side, you know, interesting fact to kind of look at, you know. And then you also got DeMeco Ryans, you know, pretty much all these teams that are in the playoffs right now, you know, their major coordinators or coaches are not necessarily game planning for this week, but they're also interviewing for jobs. You know, we talked about DeMeco Ryans is not only interviewing for the Broncos, but a couple other jobs. Ken Dorsey, the Bills offensive coordinator, interviewed for the Pan. Dan Quinn, Cowboys, you know, interviewed not just for the Broncos, you know, another job. So you got these guys that are, their mind's not fully on the task at hand. You know, maybe on game day it is, but during preparation week, you know, their minds are elsewhere. So we'll see how that kind of affects how each of their units perform this week. So just kind of a thought to think about. As you watch, you know, all four of these games this week, you know, you're going to have some distracted, you know, coordinators.
San Francisco is a 4-point favorite, Ryan. And from Caesars Sportsbook.
Yeah, and I think that seems fair. I think I'm going to say
it's the closest matchup of all the Caesars Sportsbook odds.
Yeah, I mean, if it comes down to the Cowboys kick at the end of the game,
which they did sign kicker Tristan Viscano this past week.
Yeah.
Kind of like so randomly. Think, not sure why they did that.
Well, I think what you do is you got your, what I've heard, you know, reading into this, Thursday, yesterday, today is kind of the special teams focus day for the Cowboys. So, you know, they do a lot of their preparation that, you know, if Myra struggles during that time, ultimately they'll probably cut him or put him back on the practice squad and assign this guy to this game. You know, I think you want to give him confidence.
Brett Mayer is his name. The kicker who missed four extra points.
Yeah, I mean, that's startling, Santiago. I know they moved it back a couple of years ago, but still.
But, Ryan, I mean, they weren't playing – they were playing in a windy Tampa, not in an indoor dome. Give the guy a break.
He's a professional, Santiago. It's an extra point. I've never – even in all the years, like, it should never be an issue. I mean, games you watch where a guy misses –
I don't remember. I believe since they've been tracking stats in 1935, they haven't done it.
He missed five in a row because he missed the last one, the one that he had, the lone Cowboys touchdown on week 18. So it's a confidence issue. Kicking is all about confidence. The whole thing he found that this week during practice. I mean, there's some negative things I've seen, you know, on sidelines. I think that you can just see the head hanging, you know, after missed extra points. Ultimately, you'll have, you know, fair or not fair, you know, a guy who has, you know, for 95%+ of his game is played by superior athletes, and you got this tiny guy coming in the field, and that's the difference in games. It's kind of ironic, but, you know, at the end of the day, you got to be confident. He's part of the team, and he's employed to make big plays, you know, make important kicks. Just like, you know, Dak's employed to make big throws. So you have to have trust and confidence in your teammates and all visit, you know. Because, I mean, if you're your teammates are confident, you're going to perform better, you know. And I just didn't see that towards the end of the game, you know, shots that showed of Dak throwing his helmet on the ground at halftime after he missed the third extra point. And that doesn't, you know, make you feel good if you're a kicker, you know, or any position. So, yeah, we'll see if it comes down to that this week.
So your final prediction, Cowboys at Niners. I got the Cowboys beating the Niners by a field goal, actually.
I'm going to say four. I mean, I'm going to say a four-point game. I think it's going to be 31. I think it's another 31-27 49ers.
There you go. San Francisco goes into the championship game against the Philadelphia Eagles, according to Ryan's predictions and Caesar Sportsbook. Ryan, Krista, what is the best way for people to find you to talk? Hey, man, what is the best snack food to eat during these playoffs games?
I don't know. It's tough, Santiago. I don't know. I don't know if I have a go-to. Even if it's a game I'm not even caring, like if it's not one of my teams, I care about all the games. But I got my pacer, Santiago. I pace my living room all the time. Not really on my. I don't know. We'll see. We'll see what I have in store. We'll see if I make it to Buffalo. You know, Santiago, you're talking about the Broncos is my favorite team, and they will always be my favorite team. But I've got a little Bills Mafia in me lately, Santiago.
I don't blame you. You live less than 100 miles away.
Yeah, I can be from my house to stadium in, you know, an hour and 10 minutes, you know. So it's big, you know. It's big, you know. I think the Western New York region, especially Buffalo, has had a really bad year. especially Buffalo, and I'm just saying Rochester, even though we're close, we don't follow the same weather pattern. But just in saying, you had mass murders in Buffalo, you know, at a supermarket
and Rochester
last March. Yeah, in March, and you know, you had horrific snowstorm that people have never seen that's killed. Snowstorms aren't supposed to kill people. I mean, we see 40-plus people dying. And then, you look for relief in football, and then you have the DeMar Hamlin situation. So the people of Western New York, Buffalo area, you know, they live and breathe Bills football. I don't know about it is in South Florida, but I can look out my window, and I can see everybody can see walking down the street with, blue and red on today. It's a big deal. Houses. The flags, it's big, you know, and people enjoy it, and it's kind of a sense of relief, you know, that they can get from it. So it's easy to jump on the bandwagon here, you know, and it's a likable team, you know. Josh Allen's one of the, is very marketable for around here, you know, and people love him to death. So
what's your Twitter?
Go Buffalo. Mad Dog Report 18.
Mad Dog Report 18. Ryan should be live tweeting throughout the weekend. And of course, you can see us live tweeting on the Sportscast One on Twitter, or visit our website, thesportscast.net.
But that being said, tonight is not a good night to be from Buffalo, though, because the Buffalo Bandits, 4-1, head right across the street from where I am right now to the Blue Cross Arena to face the 5-0 Rochester Nighthawks in some major league lacrosse tonight, National League lacrosse tonight. It's a big deal, Santiago, and Rochester and Buffalo get together.
It's almost like a derby.
Yeah. But here's a crazy fact, though, Santiago, is us and Buffalo are owned by the same people. So the same people own the Sabres, the Bills, our hockey team, the Amerks, Buffalo Bandits, and the Rochester Nighthawks are all owned by Terry Pegula and his wife, Kim.
What ownership. Can't beat that. Love to be in his shoes.
Yes. With that being said, let's go Rochester. Let's go Hawks.
Let's go Hawks. And don't forget the Sabres.
Yeah. Actually, we made it to the Sabres game on Monday. Not so great for them. But one of the cool things is that is being, you know, an Amherst season take a hold there and here in Rochester, that I've gotten to, you know, I live and breathe the Pittsburgh Penguins when it comes to hockey. But, you know, watching, you know, the guys develop and move into the Sabres, it's a fun thing, you know. So, while I will cheer for the Penguins, I got a soft spot in my heart for the Sabres, I'll cheer. So,
there you go, Ryan.
Who they got taken down by your Florida Panthers on Monday when I saw.
Hey, the Panthers are doing good too, aren't they?
Yeah. Well, it's funny because I was out the day after the Dolphins had played in Buffalo, so I was wondering, there's tons of Panthers fans there, so I was wondering if a lot of people just came out for the Dolphins game. And
I don't know, when I see Dolphins fans, the Bills game, is it because they live there or they're just traveling up there from Miami?
Yeah, we for some reason, I don't know, for this, there's a lot of times if you're from a certain area and you know you don't want to, you want to go against the crowd. You kind of go, you pick the rival. Like, you know, kind of like how I became a Red Sox fan because everyone here is a Yankees fan. But obviously, everybody here is a Bills fan. And if you grew up, obviously, before the 2000s, the biggest rivalry for the Bills is always the Dolphins. And, you know, I think people still get excited for the Dolphins more than sometimes the Patriots, even though you had the Tom Brady years and all that. But so if you grew up, you know, and you're here probably more than, you know, 20 plus years, you kind of want to go against the trend. You're probably a Dolphins fan, so there is a strong Dolphins fan group, you know, in Western New York for sure.
But it's interesting you say that because a lot of people became Dolphins because of our undefeated season. That's what I've read into. So yeah, there was like the best team back in the 70s. My dad went for it. I'm going for them still.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you're okay, because you got that from your dad. But I mean, if you're picking a team, and the 1972 Dolphins aren't probably the reason why you picked the Dolphins, unless you're like, you know, 60 years old. Like, but yeah, it makes sense for you. You know, you grew up, your dad cheered for them, you were cheering for them, you live by them. But yeah, there definitely is a big pocket, you know, Dolphins fans, you know, throughout the, you know, this region. I think because, you know, they were the other team, you know, back, you know, in the 80s and 90s with Dan Marino. So, you
know. Which team is older, the Dolphins or the Bills? Who came first in the NFL?
Oh, the Bills were in the AFL, so they were part of the merger. I don't know. That's a good question.
We're going to have to do that research this weekend while the Bills play the Bengals.
I think a lot of Bills, Dolphins rivalry, you could really replace the Dolphins. Now, maybe if you grew up and you're a Chiefs fan, because the Chiefs and Bills are a great rivalry, Patrick Mahomes, Josh Allen. You kind of like kids are growing up being that because they don't want to be Bills. They want to go to the other good thing, which is the Chiefs, you know. But yeah, who's oldest? I should know that, San Diego. We just got a library book with my son, which gave the history of all four teams in the AFC East we just read. So shame on me for not getting any remembering what happened there.
Hey, it happens. It happens. Anyways, we got to sign off. Enjoy the playoff weekend, Ryan. Let's go. All the good teams out there. It's going to be good playoffs, and I'll see you next time.
All right, sounds good. I look forward to our hopefully previewing some AFC-NFC championship games next week.
And this was your update.